This word comes to you from Mountain Life Church in McCall, Idaho, where God is bringing wholeness to people, families, and communities through His Word, His Spirit, and authentic, loving relationships. It is truly our heart that this message touches you and brings wholeness to your families.
Proverbs 4, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and all you're getting, get understanding. We've been on a wisdom series the last few weeks. We're going to continue. We're going to move into something a little bit different, but we're going to continue on going after wisdom that Scripture has to offer. One of the things that we've established over the last few weeks is that there is a stark difference between information and wisdom. We live in an age where there's a lot of information. You can grab your phone right now and take anything that I say and Google it, and you will probably have thousands of different answers and opinions on what I just said. And in fact, if there's something that you want to do, you can walk out, and if your car's not working, you can Google what's wrong with my car, and a whole bunch of things will come up, a lot of information. But just because there's a lot of information that comes up on how to fix your car, it doesn't mean you're going to be able to fix it. And in the same way, when it comes to just wisdom for life, when it comes especially as a believer, having the wisdom to live in this world that sometimes just seems absolutely crazy, and discerning and deciphering between truth and untruth and what's good and what's bad, and getting through the black and white and all the gray area that the world loves to present to us, the only way really to get through that is not just to have information. We've got to have wisdom. And in fact, the scripture says in Proverbs that we should seek wisdom out more than we seek gold. If there's anything that you go after, if there's anything you give your time and your money and your effort to, it should be wisdom. But scripture also says, though, that there are different kinds of wisdom. And we established this over the last few weeks, in that just because someone says it's wise and wisdom, or it's written in some book and someone acts very pious and they say from the great philosopher, it doesn't necessarily mean it's right. Or just because someone says that it's wise or it's wisdom or it's intelligence, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's right. In fact, there's a lot of good ideas out there that are just flat out wrong. True? So we established over the last few weeks that if there's anything that we should seek, we should seek wisdom. But wisdom, the beginning of wisdom, is in one place. And Scripture says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Not afraid of God, but the fear, reverence of God, understanding that God is God. God is big. God is amazing. God is awesome. We made a couple declarations a few weeks ago that as we walk or we return ourselves to the fear of the Lord, it's making statements like, God, you're amazing. God, you're awesome. God, you're big. There's nothing you can't do. God, you take care of my family. You take care of my friends. You take care of our troops that are on the battlefield. Lord, you do it all, and you do it well. And the next is, God, you're right. Whatever your word says, whatever the truth is, whatever is written in my Bible, Lord, it's right. It's your word, and it's truth. And God, you are righteous. You are holy. And you're not capable of doing any evil or anything wrong. And you love us and you love our kids. See, these are declarations of things that we can say that bring us back to a place of putting God in the first seat and bringing everything else into perspective. Isn't it true that when our perspective gets a little bit skewed, when all of a sudden God begins to get a little bit small, things kind of get out of whack? You ever get into a situation in your life, whether it's an unemployment line, or you have more bills than you have paychecks, or you're in a struggle in a relationship, that suddenly the more you work at it, the more you try to do it on your own, the more messed up it gets, the worse it gets, and suddenly we find ourselves getting into a place where we're trying to play God and we're trying to make things happen on our own, and yet what it really comes down to is that we just didn't let God be God. Scripture says to trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. We love to lean on our own understanding, don't we? You know what's interesting? God made us that way. You ever think that through a little bit? God made us. God created us the way that we are. Yet, at the same time, God gave us the ability to lean on understanding, to lean on what we know. But here's the problem. If we know the wrong thing, we're going to lean the wrong way. Come on, if you're taking notes, you should write that down. If we know the wrong thing, we're going to lean the wrong way. In other words, don't trust in your own understanding. Your own understanding comes from your paradigm. It comes from your own perspective. It comes from what you've heard in the world. It comes from the incredible wisdom and teaching that you learned on MTV or CNN. Who else can I pick on today? Or Facebook or whatever social media. See, there's so many things out there that we receive. We get all this information in, and the problem is that what we bring in is what we contain. So you bring in the wrong thing, and you contain the wrong thing. It's like Heidi often used to say to our youth group. She would say, "Poop in, poop out." I know that's incredibly spiritual, but junk in, junk out. What you bring in is what comes out. And so our own understanding, what we build on our own from our environment and the world around us, just because it's our experience doesn't mean it's right. And we live in a world, though, that is driven by their experience. Isn't it true? In fact, even in the church, there's many who say, "Well, I've read the scripture, I've read the Bible, but the Bible doesn't line up with what I've experienced, so it must be wrong." Here's a problem with that. Our experience and our knowledge and what we know is limited. But there is a creator of the universe that is unlimited. And I use this analogy often. Sometimes trying to compare our understanding to God is like an ant understanding your algebra homework. They can see it. They can walk on it. They can get around it. But they just can't get it, can't comprehend it. And see, so many times we live in a world where we elevate our understanding to the place of God. Well, if I don't understand, then it must be invalid. If I don't get it, it must not be real. If I can't connect the dots and make it make sense, then it must not make sense. Listen, you don't understand physics completely either, but you trust that. You don't understand Darwinism completely either, because if you did, you wouldn't believe it. But you trust in that. But it's that same thing, is that we put our trust, we put our weight in what we understand, which is really what we've been talking about this last few weeks, is what do you understand and where does it come from? At first and foremost, it comes from God being big, God being elevated. It comes from the fear of the Lord. But in all of those things, I want to talk about how to receive wisdom, because it's not enough just to be given it or to find it. You have to do something with it. Have you ever had someone give you a really good piece of advice, like a financial tip, or give you a really good piece of advice about how to avoid blowing your car up because not putting oil in it? And you just, it's great advice, it's really good, and you just didn't do it. You just chose not to. Back in the early 90s, I had a friend who worked for a large investment company, and of course, if you remember anything about the early 90s, the tech industry was beginning to do something significant. And he came to me, and he came to me with this wisdom, and he said, "Listen, there's this new company that's starting up, and I really think you should, whatever money you can scrounge, you need to invest it in this company." And I said, "Oh yeah, investing, blah, 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 blah." And he said, "No, really, you really should invest this in this company. They make these processors. The company is called Intel. And you should invest in this company." And I said, "Oh, I don't know." He goes, No, really. I have access. Anything you can liquidate, anything you can sell, you should give to this company, Intel." Did you just hear what I just said? So just because you get wisdom doesn't mean it's going to automatically make you rich. Now, by the way, that gentleman who turned me on to Intel, I'm pretty sure is just independently wealthy at the moment and has made millions and millions of dollars and has continued to invest. In fact, owns his own investment firm now. And has done some pretty incredible things. But just because you get information doesn't mean that it's going to be put to use. You have to do something with it. We've talked about a few a few characters in Proverbs. I want to just throw these at you real quick in case you weren't here. But I asked this question. So what keeps us from using wisdom? And here's these three characters again. And the first is the simple. Now, I'm not talking about the good kind of country simple, you know, like the simple man. You know, I'm just a simple man. They called me a redneck. I reckon that I am. Anybody know that song? Anyway, there's a better version of it, too, that Wolf could sing, but we're not going to go there today. Not that kind of simple, but simple meaning the simple person just doesn't know what they don't know. They just don't. The simple just doesn't get it. The next is the fool, and the fool just ignores it. And the third is the scoffer or the mocker, and they get mad when they hear it. These are the three characters that Proverbs speaks about. It's the person that just, they're just simple. They're just Forrest Gumping it. Stupid is as stupid does, sir. Another famous philosopher. They just don't have wisdom. They just haven't got it, and they don't know where to find it. They don't know where to get it, or they don't know to even use it. And then the fool ignores it. No, stop. Don't run your car without oil in it. Ah, what do you know? You're like 70, and I'm like 20. I know everything. You can't tell me anything. Well, putt, 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 crash, crash, and there you have it. And that's the fool. And the scoffer is, well, who do you think you are to tell me? Okay, you know those three characters. Here's the reality, though. I would find it hard to believe that anyone in this room would fit into any of those three characters. I mean, everyone here likes to be told that they're wrong, right? Everyone here doesn't mind correction or someone saying, hey, you know, Joe, you know, that beat was a little bit fast on the drums and maybe you could slow down. And, oh, thank you for speaking into my life. It's so wonderful. Pastor Joe, your preaching's great. Can you not go for an hour? Oh, thank you. Okay, of course. Anyway, enough on that one. We'll talk about teachability later on. But the reality is, many times, though, we're not intentionally doing wrong. We're not intentionally going our own way. And the reason why is Scripture says that we're born into sin, shaped in iniquity. Listen, we're a fallen race in a fallen place. Because of sin, we're born into sin, we're born into iniquity, we're born into going our own way. I never had to teach Samuel to grab the toy and go, mine. Heidi might have taught him, but I know I never did. You don't teach your children that. It just happens. It's just part of human nature. It's that fallen part of our nature where we just go our own way. And listen, when we're talking about the simple, the fool, or the scoffer, so many times it's not that the person wants to be that way or that we want to go that way. We're just doing what we know because it's all we know. We're just behaving that way. You know, someone one time was talking about a church setting, and they said, well, you know, we just got to be really careful about this small group because, you know, we're really studying the Word, and what if sinners come? Well, we want that. Well, no, but they sin. Yeah, that's what sinners do. That's what we do. That's part of our nature. And it's not, listen, the world out there is not inherently evil. The world is following inherent evil. Did you catch that? If you don't know what to follow, you'll follow whatever's in front of you. And whatever is in front of the world is the way of the world. It's evil. And it doesn't mean that people who aren't in church today are bad people. It just means they do bad things because they've been led a bad way. They just don't know what's better. They just don't know what's right. We don't know. Often, we just don't know because we've learned wrong. Or we try, but we have some wrong root issues. Anybody ever deal with any root issues in their lives? You know, we talk about producing fruit, and we want to have good things in our lives and produce good fruit. But the problem is, if my life is producing bad fruit, I don't need to just go get more fruit. I need to look at the root. I need to look at what I need to look at the root system in my life and what it's bringing in, what it's connected to. Because I can have a heart and a desire to be just such a nice person and only have good things and encouraging things come into my mouth. But unless the source that's coming into my life changes, what comes in is going to continue to come out. I won't quote Heidi again. Icky stuff in, icky stuff out. I know that's super spiritual. Everybody hang in with me with my great deep theology and icky stuff. It's the poop theology. I have a 10-year-old. We talk this way in my house. I'm sorry. When he's in college, maybe our conversations will, no, probably not. But here's what we tend to do. We tend to follow the wrong source of wisdom. But there's a couple of sources of wisdom I want to talk about that I hear all the time, even in the church today. And the first source of wisdom is this one. Someone will say, well, you should just follow your gut. Now, this is coming from a person who grew up learning to trust their gut, to learn to trust instincts, to trust their senses. But here's a problem with just following your gut. Your gut, if it's not the Holy Spirit, is rooted only in your self-preservation. Now, listen, there is some basic instinct. God created us to, like, look outside, see lightning striking in the parking lot, and our gut says, don't go out there with a metal pole. Okay, that's your gut. You should listen to that. God just created you with some of that. But there's so many times where we live our lives or we're led by just our gut instinct or just our... The problem with your gut is centered on you. It's focused on you. And if you are your own God, you are now responsible for your own outcome. The next is we say this, oh, just stick to your convictions. Right? I mean, that even sounds scriptural, right? You just need to stick to your conviction. Now, again, if it's not conviction of the Holy Spirit and it's just a conviction, your conviction might be wrong. There's a group of people right now that are operating in our world that have a very strong conviction. They identify themselves by the IS or ISIS. They have very strong convictions. Does that make them right? There's another gentleman in our history who had very strong conviction. Guy from Germany. Was he right? His strong conviction led to a whole lot of deaths and some really terrible things and one of the most infamous people of all time. Yet, he had his convictions. But just because you have your conviction doesn't mean it's right, because your convictions could come from the wrong place. We live in a world where there's a lot of people who are rioting, they're being vocal, they're trying to run for government, change government, influence things. Some have gone to incredible violent extremes. Some are trying to do it through more peaceful means. But nonetheless, they're trying to use their strong conviction to change society. But the problem is their convictions are based on the wrong moral standard. Unless you have the right moral standard, your convictions are going to be wrong. I can have incredible conviction about how, you know, I should never lose a fight and that I should do whatever it takes to win. But what if I'm fighting the wrong fight? What if I'm fighting against the good guys? What if I'm not fighting the devil, but I'm fighting for the devil? And see, that's the condition that a lot of our world is in today, is that we have a lot of strong convictions. We're following our gut. We're following our instinct, but it's based on the wrong moral compass. Because we haven't corrected our compass. And in fact, a lot of times, even in the church, we can love the concept of Jesus. We might even love Jesus. We might even know that that's the truth and the way to go. Yet at the same time, the source of our direction still has not changed. We come in, we hear words. James says, don't just be hearers of the word and so deceive yourselves, but be doers of it also. But sometimes we're not able to be doers because we hear the word, but then we resort back to our wrong sense of direction. You following me today? We could follow our gut. We could stick to our convictions. Galatians 5:19, that this is the children's Bible version, so you can follow along if you want. This is what Samuel and I read every morning. 5:19 says the wrong things the sinful self does are clear. Committing sexual sin, being morally bad, doing all kinds of shameful things, worshiping false gods, taking part in witchcraft, hating people, causing trouble, being jealous, angry, or selfish, causing people to argue and divide in separate groups, being filled with envy, getting drunk, having wild parties, and doing other things like this. The contrast after this is, you know, Galatians 5, says, but the fruit of the Spirit. So there's a fruit of the world, there's the fruit of our self-morality, and then there's another fruit that the Spirit of God produces, and that'll be another sermon for another day. But here's another source of wisdom that many in our generation follow, and I hear it all the time. There's songs about it. There's movies written about it. In fact, I've even heard Christians sounding super spiritual say, just follow your heart. Just follow. Anybody ever heard that? Just follow. Now, listen, when I say it, it sounds right, doesn't it? Just follow your heart. Yeah. Yeah. Pastor said, just follow my heart. But Jesus talked about our heart condition. Jesus said that the bad man out of a bad heart comes bad things, but a good man out of a good heart comes good things. So just to follow my heart sounds great, and yes, be true to yourself. And I heard someone who was fairly successful in the entertainment industry, and it was an opportunity for them to share some great wisdom with a generation of millennials that are just eating it up. And the person, and they said, what's your, I finally discovered I just need to be true to me. Me, 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 me. It's all about me, as if you should do things my way. Bingo. The problem with following our own heart is we might have the wrong heart. We might have stuff in our heart that's not healed. We might have stuff in our heart that's not aligned with the Word of God or the heart of God, which is really what I want to take the next few minutes to talk about today, is that do I believe that there is an aspect in our lives where we could follow our heart? I would say yes, but we have to have the right heart. And so much of what happens in the world today is people will just follow their heart, but their heart leads them away from the principles of God, the character of God, the nature of God. They'll follow their heart, but their heart will lead them away from their family or lead them away from their loved ones or the things that can help them. I have a very, very dear person in my life, a spiritual child, as it were, I've been praying for, been ministering to for years and years and years, and just trying to speak truth and minister to them and love on them. And recently they heard from a guru that they should just follow their heart, leave everything and follow their heart, and literally forsook everyone in their life and went their own way. And somehow think it's okay, and somehow think they're going the right way. But here's the tragic thing. Their heart's wrong. There's a way that seems right to a man or a woman or child, but the way therein leads to death. That's the Bible. There's a way that seems right, but it's just wrong. There's a way of the heart, but it's just wrong. If your heart's in the wrong place, you're going to go wrong anyway. Proverbs 9:10. Wisdom begins with fear and respect for the Lord. Knowledge of the Holy One leads to understanding. Children's Bible again. Wisdom will help you live longer. She will add years to your life. If you become wise, it will be for your own good. If you are rude and show no respect, you are the one who will suffer. Great translation, by the way. So what do we need? How do we need to receive wisdom? And number one, talking about the heart, we need to have a smarter heart. I have a lot of detail in my notes that I'll put online. You can get these later for your study groups or whatever, or just for your own fun, trouble sleeping at night. You can read through these. Psalm 51:10, David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So here we have one of the greatest kings of all time, greatest leaders of all time, saying, God, create a good heart, create a clean heart, renew a right spirit in me. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What is the plumb line or the measurement for our heart? It's the word of God. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In other words, it's able to divide between the flesh and the spirit. It's able to divide between my way and God's way. But the beginning of getting a smarter heart is having a heart that's full of the word of God. David said, I've hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. So one of the reasons why we are so serious about Kids Church, why we're going to be doing some pretty significant changes in the next 6 to however many months is really focusing, and we've been doing it already, but really to focus on this generation to get the word of God in their hearts so that when they grow older, so that when they grow up, they already have a smarter heart. They already have a heart that's not deceived and been duped by the enemy or by the world. Psalm 119:11, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Number two, let me just go back to a smarter heart. There's a really good book out, actually, that folks are passing around. I'm not going to give away the book, but let me just sum up kind of what I'm preaching about today about a smarter heart is if our intellect, if what we are driven by is by human emotion. In Romans, Paul said, I don't do what I should do, and I do what I shouldn't do. And then there's the direct contrast in Romans 7 and 8 that says, if you're led by the flesh, you'll do the things of the flesh. If you're led by the Spirit, you'll do the things of the Spirit. Part of having a smarter heart is having a heart that's in the right place, that's full of the right things. And here's the thing about our heart. Now, when we say heart, it's our mind, our will, and our emotions. It's not necessarily our physical heart. There's definitely some great correlation and analogies there, but it's really talking about our soul. Now, the thing about it, again, is that if I want to have a smarter heart brings smarter things in and keeps dumber things out. So if I'm feeding myself full of a bunch of things and information and stuff from the world that is contrary to the word of God, what eventually is going to happen is going to affect my heart. Have you ever just have a normal disposition where you're not super negative and not super positive, you just kind of plateau or whatever, or maybe you're a positive person, but then all of a sudden you start hanging around someone who's really negative all the time. Before too long, you begin speaking negative and acting and doing things that are more negative. Why? Because your heart, you weren't being intelligent in your heart. You were letting things come in, and they started tainting your heart toward a way you shouldn't go. Bad company corrupts good character. And it doesn't just corrupt good character, it corrupts a good heart. We need to have a smarter heart. Number two, we need to have a humble heart. Proverbs 12, whoever loves discipline loves to learn. Whoever hates to be corrected is stupid. Sorry, this is the easy-to-read version still. I tried New King James, NLT, NIV, and all of them say the same thing. If you hate correction, you're stupid. And I'm sorry, I love you, but it's Bible. It's translated in English. Maybe if it's in Spanish, maybe we need to have Yober tell us what the translation in Spanish is. Maybe it doesn't say stupid. It's probably stupid. I don't know. But maybe dummy head. I don't know how it translates. But pride, here, Proverbs 11, I got to move on. Pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Proverbs 14, 3 and 8. A fool's proud talk becomes a rod that beats him, but the words of the wise keep them safe. The prudent understand where they're going, but fools deceive themselves. In James 3 and 4, and you can look at this later, talks about the sources of wisdom, where wisdom comes from. But here's what James 4, when we talk about, you know, where does quarrels and strife come from? Because you have not, because you ask not. We always use that as like a slot machine prayer. Well, you don't have a new car because you didn't ask for one. That's not actually what James 4 is talking about. James 4 is talking about wisdom. And it says you don't have wisdom because you didn't ask. And then when you asked, your heart was in the wrong place. And then it goes on to talk about humility. It says, but then submit to God and resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And it says that God resists the proud. I'm backing up a little bit. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. I shared this, the word that Ed gave me a week or so ago, is that the start of wisdom is humility. It's humbling myself to go, I don't know everything. God does. And God put other people around me that have lived more life and have more wisdom. And sometimes, do you know that sometimes through the Holy Spirit, wisdom can come from my 10-year-old? I just have to be humble enough to hear it. I have to be humble enough in my heart. I need to have a humbler heart that says, you know what, correction isn't bad. Correction makes me better. Number three, we need to have an undivided heart. 1 Kings 18, Elijah was talking to the people, and it says, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? A divided heart has the opinion of God, the word of God, and then has the word of the world, and struggles with both, or the word from themselves, or their own devices, or their own opinion. And Elijah's statement was, when are you going to pick and choose? When are you going to decide? Joshua said, you get to choose. You get to decide. As for me and my house, we're going to choose God. We're going to choose to serve the Lord. Scripture talks about double-mindedness. It says that if you're double, and James says that the double-minded is blown to and fro by the wind, and they can't expect that anything good is going to happen because they're just blown around. Any breeze that comes by, oh, it's the word of God, it's the truth. And then some breeze comes in, and they're off in another direction. It says that they're unstable and undependable, unreliable. See, sometimes we have a divided heart where we want the things of God, yet we want our own way also. Do you know one of the, in counseling, and Joe could probably attest to this too, so many times when I'm in counseling, someone will be confused. Oh, I just don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know which way to go. I'm trying to decide. I'm just not sure. And they're so confused. But then the more you talk and the more you dig into it, you realize they know the truth. They know the way they want to go, but they don't want to. And so we confuse ourselves because we don't want to choose what's right. Oh, I'm so confused. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's the will of God for me to commit adultery or not. It's not. You're just confused because you have a divided, double-minded heart. Now listen, I know that sounds pretty harsh, but it's true. We do this in much smaller things too. Well, I'm just not really sure if I should fill in the blank. I'm just not really sure if God really wants me to, and I'm just so confused. I'm not sure how I should serve God. I'm not sure what I should do. Listen, most of the time, we know the good we ought to do. James also says, if anyone knows the good they ought to do and they don't, they sin. That sounds harsh, but really, that comes down to double-mindedness. I have a mind for God, I have a heart for God, but on the other side of that heart, divided right in the middle, is my will, is what I want to do. We need to have an undivided heart, like Joshua. As for me and my house, as for me and my heart, we're going to serve God. And even if I want something different than what the Word of God says, God is right. Say that with me. God is right. Boy, wasn't that easy? It's not so easy to walk in, though, is it? Psalm 33, for the word of the Lord holds true, and we can trust everything he does. Having an undivided heart comes down to a root issue, and it's trust. Do I trust God with my whole heart? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. In other words, not just part of it, love him with all of it. Because when we give God our whole heart, now God has access to give us the right kind of heart. And then finally, we need a childlike heart. Jesus said, unless you come to me like a little child. What's a childlike heart like? In fact, let me read Matthew 11:25. That time, Jesus prayed this prayer, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever, and revealing them to the childlike. Well, here's what a childlike heart is like. A childlike heart is a sponge. They learn. They like to learn. They're open. They trust. Kids know how to receive and get good gifts. And Kathy shared a great word a year or so ago on that. Kids are good at getting good stuff. And kids usually don't want the bad stuff. Keep the broccoli away from me. But here's the other thing. Kids are transparent and honest. It's the mature adult grown-up heart that becomes hardened and untransparent and untrusting. And sometimes when that happens, we don't trust God because we've been hurt by man. We need to have a childlike heart. Ezekiel 36, please stand to your feet. We're going to wrap up right here. Ezekiel 36. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I will put within you, and you will remove the heart of stone from your flesh. Let me read this over again. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. 1 Samuel, Saul had become disqualified, and the word through Samuel to Saul was, I've rejected you, but I have found someone else. Paraphrasing, it says, the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. The final point is that we need God's heart. We need to have a heart after God. You know, I read about Moses and I read about David. Moses was God's friend, and David was a man after God's own heart. David wasn't perfect. He made some big mistakes, but he made the right choice after the consequence of his mistake because David had a heart after God. So I'm here to say today, don't follow your heart. Follow his heart. Get the right heart. Get the right direction. If you're here today and you say, you know, I have been following my own heart. The word says that he is faithful and just to forgive us if we confess our sins. Sometimes it's just as simple as saying, Lord Jesus, I've been following my own heart. God, please forgive me. Now, Lord, give me a heart like David's prayer. Create in me a new heart and renew a right spirit in me. God, change my heart. If that's you today, it just is that simple. Scripture says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, in other words, Jesus, your heart rules here, that you'll be saved. And so it's just a simple prayer. Jesus, give me your heart. Jesus, I want to follow you and not follow my own heart anymore. God, I'm done following my gut. I'm going to follow you. You can just say that simple prayer right where you're at. And listen, it's not about the complexity of your prayer. It's about the sincerity of your heart. Jesus, change my heart. And I would just say for the rest of us, we've been on this wisdom thing for a few weeks because the Lord has us in a world full of wolves, full of sly foxes. And Jesus said to be shrewd, to be wise, to be gentle like doves, but to be shrewd and to be wise. And we need to be wise in this world, but not wise like the world. But there's a place where this wisdom comes from. But it starts having the right heart. Jesus, today we just ask that you would work on our hearts. Help us to have a humble heart. Help us to have a heart for you. Lord, help us to have a heart that is like yours. Hey God, most of all, would you lead us? Would you direct us? God, would you place a heart inside of us that beats after your heart? That we wouldn't be led by human emotion or wisdom or our experience for sure, but we'd be led by the heart of God. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this week's Word. If you would like to receive prayer or get in contact with any of our ministries or leaders, go ahead and call us at 208-634-3037. Have a great and blessed day.